Hey there, welcome. Come on in, make yourself at home. I am Gary Zimak, glad to be back from California, and I am ready to get started with another week of our total consecration preparation. I have to tell you, it's such a beautiful day here in southern New Jersey that I have the window open, so you might hear some of the sounds from the outside drift in. When it's this beautiful out, I absolutely have to open the windows. So, here we are. Today is Monday, September the 12th. This is day 9 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration, and I hope you're doing well. I'm getting some emails, and I have to be honest, I'm a little late in responding to some of your questions. A lot of good questions, and I really appreciate you asking me certain things. One of the questions that repeatedly comes up, and this is a very valid question. Obviously, any question is valid, but this is one that many people have when they get into total consecration, especially when we look at some of the comments by St. Louis de Montfort, by Father Michael Gately, by so many other people who are featured in these meditations that I'm using. And the question is, once I make my total consecration, can I still pray to Jesus, or do I always have to go through Mary? And that's an absolutely very valid question. The answer is, you certainly can and should pray to Jesus, pray to that your Heavenly Father, pray to the Holy Spirit, ask for the various saints, your favorite saints, to intercede on your behalf. Please continue to do all that. However, when you make your total consecration, what you're doing is you're giving the Blessed Mother permission to work in your life. She is working behind the scenes. So after, and we'll probably mention this throughout the preparation period as well, but after we're finished with total consecration, one of the things that I like to do is spend a couple of days focusing on how we live out the total consecration. Because that's a valid question. You make your total consecration, now what? Am I only allowed to speak to Mary? Well, the answer really is that you have to remember that Mary is not desiring to call attention to herself. She's not doing this. She's not getting involved in your life to try to take you away from her son. I mean, that would be ludicrous if that was the case. If that was the case, I would tell you by no means should you do any kind of a devotion that allows that to happen. You want to draw closer to Jesus. And in fact, total consecration is more specifically referred to as total consecration to Jesus through Mary. So Mary is just helping you. She's not trying to steal away your prayers. She works behind the scenes. So even though it's recommended, and St. Louis talks about this, it's recommended that you have a devotion to the Blessed Mother and that you do speak to her every day in some way. It doesn't have to be extensive, but you should have some sort of a devotion to her, and we will talk about that as we go forward. But she does basically work behind the scenes, and what that means is if you do nothing differently, if you pray the way you do now, Mary will still be involved because you're giving her permission. And if you really think about this logically, which I think, unfortunately, we sometimes fail to do, we tend to maybe get a little scrupulous about a devotion like this, and we maybe get a little overly analytical. I know I struggle with this. If you look at this logically, you're asking the Blessed Mother to get more involved in your life, to help turn you into a saint, to help draw you closer to Jesus. If you ask her to do that, once you ask her, then you're set. You don't have to keep asking her and repeating the message and going on and on and on. Mary wants to bring you to Jesus. You're spending 33 days preparing to make this decision to consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary. So once you make that decision and once you ask for her help, you don't need to keep asking for her help. You want to get to know her. You want to become friends with her. Yes, you definitely should want to do that. But it's not necessary to repeatedly turn to her and ask her to bring you closer to Jesus every day. At that point, you could talk to Jesus. You talk to the Holy Spirit. You talk to God the Father, which are all things you should do. And Mary is working behind the scenes to maybe clean up your prayers. Some of your motives may be less than pure, even though you don't realize it. Mary does that kind of thing, and you don't even realize she's at work. So essentially, you don't have to change your prayer life once you make total consecration. Everything can still stay the same. and you're still going to see the results. But yes, please continue to talk to Jesus. Mary would want you to talk to Jesus. She would want you to speak to your Father in heaven. She'd want you to speak to the Holy Spirit. And if I could, let's just talk briefly about the first miracle of our Lord. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. If you remember what happened, the wine had run out, and what did Mary do? Mary interceded on behalf of the bride and groom. Mary went to Jesus, said to him, "They have no wine," and then what happened there? Mary didn't insist that the bride and groom deal with her at this point. She turned control over to Jesus. She let him know there was a problem, and Jesus was the person who dealt with the servers. And Mary went to the servers and said, "Look, guys, do whatever he tells you." She didn't say, "Use me, talk to me, I'll tell you what to do." No, she went to them and said, "Do whatever he tells you." And then she got out of the picture, and those words, "Do whatever he tells you," were her last recorded words in the pages of the Bible. And I always like to say, when I talk about this, and I do speak about this frequently when I am out traveling in the country, is that what else could she possibly say? Those words, "Do whatever he tells you," are the words that you and I need to get to heaven. If we follow Jesus and do whatever he tells us, we're going to get to heaven one day. And so that's what Mary does. She turns you over to her son, and then you can absolutely talk to Jesus every day. So again, very good question. I get it every year, several times a year. And the fact that you're questioning these things, these are good questions, because that shows me you're trying, you're thinking. I want you to think. This is not a devotion where you just have to blindly follow. Yeah, there's some faith involved, and over the past 2 days, I laid on you some pretty heavy concepts. This total consecration requires a lot of trust. We're really giving the Blessed Mother we're putting a lot of faith in her. Not that she's divine, not that she can work miracles, but that she can be there for us and help us to grow closer to her son. And I would like to point out that if the question arises, and it may, you may have already had this question, but it still could come up, why do we need Mary? Why, you know, isn't Jesus enough? And what I would say is, take a look at her life. Take a look at the episodes that are recorded in the pages of the Bible. Take a look at some of the writings of the early church fathers. Take a look at some of the papal writings on the Blessed Mother. Take a look at some of the books that were written by very reputable authors about the Blessed Mother. And ask yourself the question, why did she have the role that she did if she was unimportant? Why is it that the Blessed Mother was chosen to deliver the Savior to us if she was unimportant? Why was she present at the Lord's first miracle? Why was she present at Calvary? Why did Jesus entrust the disciple John to the Blessed Mother and entrust the Blessed Mother to the care of John if she wasn't important? You know, if you just look at the facts, it's going to be apparent that she was there and she played these roles, these various roles, for a reason. She is important. And the church gives us this gift of the Blessed Mother to help us to get to heaven. And when we do that, when we follow the teaching of the church and turn to Mary and honor her, we don't worship her, but we honor her, we venerate her, we become closer to Jesus through that process. It's an amazing process. And also, make sure you keep asking Jesus to help you to love and appreciate the Blessed Mother more. Pray to the Holy Spirit for guidance as you go through total consecration. You might have some doubts. Ask the Holy Spirit to let you know, "Holy Spirit, should I really go through with this?" You know, I'm for full disclosure here. I don't want to just try to coerce you into doing this. I want to bring up the tough questions because I want you to ask these questions. Yes, some faith is required. Lots of faith is required to do this. But at the same time, it's not a totally illogical process. And that's what I want to differentiate between faith and reason and logic. Faith doesn't contradict reason. But faith requires you to trust. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Because we have a difficult time. So anyway, I'm glad to be here once again. And today is day 9. Let me give you a brief overview of where we are. We have 12 days dedicated to ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. We'll continue that today. And then on Friday, this Friday, the 9th of September, we launch into, I'm sorry, not the 9th of September, the 16th of September, we launch into the second phase of this preparation process. So we will have spent 12 days going through ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world and understanding that, yeah, okay, the world has influence over us. And then we enter into the second phase, which is a week spent to looking at ourselves. So this is going to be painful. This is when we realize that we're not as good as we think we are and that we have some issues. And you know what? It's good to know that, because when we're honest with ourselves, and essentially that's the definition of humility. The humility is seeing ourselves as we really are. Once we take a look at that honest picture and get what we're really like and totally understand that, then we understand why we need help to get closer to Jesus and get to heaven. So we spend that week devoted to looking at ourselves, and that will only be a week. So the first period is 12 days. That's the way St. Louis de Montfort wanted it. Then we spend a week devoted to looking at ourselves, then a week devoted to the Blessed Mother. So we actually spend a full week devoted to studying Mary and her life. And then finally, the week devoted to looking at our Lord Jesus Christ. After that's done, we make our total consecration. So we are in day 9 now. We're just about a third of the way through this process. Pretty cool, right? I mean, when you first started, you didn't know how you were going to get through it. I know, it's overwhelming. 33 straight days. I struggle with this every year because I have to come up with the shows. And especially this year, since I'm doing the best of the best, I have to really each day decide, okay, what are we going to look at today? In the past, when I was just reading from a book, it made a lot more sense. I mean, I shouldn't say it made a lot more sense. It was a lot easier for me. I didn't have to do my homework. But now I have to work, too. But I think I really like the way we're doing it this year, and I would appreciate your feedback. Let me know if you're enjoying this as well. Okay, does that sound good? By the way, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com if you need anything. gary@followingthetruth.com. Why don't we begin now? We'll begin with the prayers that we say every day. We start out with the invocation of the Holy Spirit. Before we start, though, let's just remember that we are in the presence of the Lord, your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. They are all right here. Wherever you are, they're here with you. The Blessed Mother can hear as well. St. Louis de Montfort, he's part of the communion of saints. He can help us. So we're all, you know, we're all in this together. And you've got a lot of friends pulling for you. And let's continue to pray for one another, too, as we go through this total consecration. Why don't we begin? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructs the hearts of your faithful, who, with the light of your Holy Spirit, make us responsive to his inspirations, so that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. St. Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to point out, too, that very quickly, that today is an optional memorial on the church's calendar. This is one that doesn't have to be celebrated, but kind of neat that we are in this preparation period and we have yet another Marian feast day today. Today we celebrate the most holy name of Mary. Now let me just read this briefly. This is from the Magnificat, the magazine which features daily Mass readings. Here's what the Magnificat has to say. Our salvation begins when an archangel speaks the name of Mary. To be Christian is to carry on that annunciation unceasingly. St. Louis de Montfort wrote that the salvation of each individual is bound up with the Hail Mary. This prayer that names the holy name of the Mother of God brought to a dry and barren world the fruit of life. It will cause the Word of God to take root in the soul and bring forth Jesus. The holy name of Mary bears such power because of the unique bond between mother and son. When God sent his son, born of a woman, he instituted a once and for all order of salvation, in which the union of mother and child stands at the center. To accept the divine privilege of speaking the name of Mary is to participate in that saving union. When we think about the concept of our salvation, the Word becoming flesh, when Jesus began, the process of our salvation really kicked off when Adam and Eve committed the first sin. At that point, God, your Heavenly Father, put the plan into action to send us a Messiah. And I don't like to talk about God's plans in a linear manner, because he's God. It's not like, okay, well, this happened, then I better do this. But as so often we see in the Old Testament, that's the kind of language that we understand, because we're humans. We have a hard time understanding the fact that God operates outside of time and space. So, for lack of a better explanation, I'll say that when the plan was put into process, right? But you understand that God doesn't change. Nothing surprises him. Adam and Eve sin. The Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, and my Heavenly Father, came up with this plan to send the Savior. And at the point Jesus was about to enter into the world, the angel Gabriel, was sent from God to Galilee, the city of Galilee, to a town in Galilee. The city was named Nazareth, to the Blessed Mother. And he came to her, and the first words that he said was, "Hail, full of grace. Hail, full of grace." And this is what's called the Annunciation. And the Annunciation is when the angel announced to the Blessed Mother, Mary, that she had been chosen to become the mother of the Messiah. The Messiah would come into the world once Mary gave her fiat, or her yes, and that Messiah, Jesus Christ, would save us, would redeem us, I should say, to be more accurate, would redeem us from our sins. That all came about starting with the Annunciation, the announcement by the angel Gabriel to the Blessed Mother that she had been chosen. Starts out with the words, "Hail, full of grace." We add the word Mary. To be clear, we add "Hail Mary, full of grace." And that's a very familiar prayer to us, the Hail Mary. But these words and that name of Mary are all very closely related with our redemption. If Mary didn't say yes, you could possibly still be waiting for a Savior. So something to keep in mind. So today the church honors Mary with this memorial, the holy name of Mary. We also have another Marian feast day coming up on Thursday, the 15th, Our Lady of Sorrows. And then finally, Our Lady of the Rosary. That's why I like doing this total consecration when we do it, beginning on September the 4th. Because we've had several Marian feast days. We have her birthday that we celebrated on September the 8th. And the day we make our total consecration on October the 7th is the celebration of Our Lady of the Rosary. So it's really cool. It is the month of the Rosary when we do this. So lots of good stuff happening with total consecration. So there's a brief overview of what we're going to be discussing today. In the near future. Now today, I'm going to turn to the book from Father Hugh Gillespie. Father Gillespie travels around and he leads people through total consecration. Does a nice job. He is a member of the Montfortian Order, the order of priests founded by St. Louis de Montfort. And he wrote a book called Preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus Through Mary. And I'd like to use his meditation this day, because I think this is an important thing to consider. I need to take a sip of my water with lemon, if you excuse me for a minute. I'm a little parched today, so it's hard to do a lot of talking. I know it might not seem like I struggle, but sometimes it's hard to talk for 30 minutes straight. Today, Father Gillespie looks at the fact that the flesh is opposed to the spirit. You got to get used to accepting this. no matter how holy you are, no matter how close you are to the Lord, no matter how hard you try, we have a fallen human nature. We struggle with this. The flesh, or the body, the material body, wants to do different things than the Holy Spirit wants to do quite often. And that's a big problem. This week is devoted to recognizing this very fact, that we often don't do what we want to do. So we're going to start off with a reading from the St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. If you want to write this down and look at it in your Bible, that might be a good idea. Remember, it's encouraged, strongly encouraged, that you spend some extra time meditating on some of these concepts that we talk about each day. So this is Galatians 5, verses 16 through 21. Galatians 5, 16 through 21. And I'm going to read it, and then we'll hear from St. Louis de Montfort himself from some of his writings. But I say, walk by the Spirit. And remember, these are the words of St. Paul. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissensions, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's a pretty tough reading, isn't it? It's a pretty in-your-face type of message from St. Paul. But the reminder for us all is that the body, the flesh, if you will, rebels against the Spirit. We do things, it happens all the time, that we would rather not do. We think, why did I do that? Why didn't I keep my mouth shut? Why did I say what I did? Why did I commit that sin? Why did I fall victim to this temptation? I should have been able to resist. You know, we do these things. And I think it's important to recognize this and recognize the fact that we are weak. Instead of trying to pretend that we're strong, which we do sometimes, instead of trying to pretend that we're strong, we should accept the fact that we are weak and that we need help. And this is why we're doing this total consecration. This is why we're doing this total consecration, because we acknowledge the fact that we need some help in better living out our baptismal promises. Amen? Right. So that's why we're doing this. And so what Paul was saying is, yeah, we have this tendency to do the wrong thing. We love comfort. We're lazy. We like instant gratification. That's the fallen human nature. And that affects each one of us, whether we admit it or not, whether we like it or not. And it might affect us to different degrees, but it affects us all. But it doesn't mean that our situation is hopeless. That's why we need grace. We need the Lord's help. And we certainly could stand to use the Blessed Mother's help as well, so she can help us to get closer to the Lord and get the grace that we need. And that's a reason why we're doing this total consecration. Now, with that in mind, let's hear what St. Louis de Montfort has to say. The wisdom of the flesh is the love of pleasure. This is the wisdom shown by the worldly wise, who seek only the satisfaction of the senses. They want to have a good time. They shun anything that might prove unpleasant or mortifying for the body, such as fasting and other austerities. Usually they think only of eating, drinking, playing, laughing, enjoying life, and having a good time. They must always be comfortable and insist on having entertaining pastimes, the best of food, and good company. Man, isn't that a powerful message? Now, here's what I want you to remember. we're only in the process of preparing for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. So honestly, in order to do that, one of the themes that you'll see running through these readings, these meditations, is that we need this. We need help. So that's why, especially, you're going to hear a lot of this next week when we look at ourselves. We take a deep look at ourselves. It's good that we realize this. It's good that we realize that we do mess up. Because otherwise, if we ignore this, if we ignore that we're affected by the world, if we ignore the fact that we often do the wrong thing, many of us are going to say, well, why do I need total consecration? What's the point? Remember, we're still in the process of preparing to consecrate our lives. One of the best ways to do that is to present reasons for why you need to do it in the first place. Why should you do it? So this is a great reason. St. Louis nails it. He really hits the nail on the head. We often just want to have a good time. The word fasting is not a fun word. I struggle with that. I struggle with fasting. I don't like to be uncomfortable. You know, I'm not proud to admit that, but that's my nature. I like to be comfortable, whether it's due to the weather or maybe it's talking to people. I prefer to talk to people who are not going to give me a hard time. I don't like to go out of my comfort zone, but there are times when we absolutely have to do it. So this is what the reading is all about. Today, we acknowledge the fact that the desires of the flesh go against the desires of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He wants you to do certain things. The Holy Spirit drove Christ to do what he did. You've got that Spirit inside of you. That's a wonderful thing. But you've got to be aware that you have forces opposing you. And part of that's the devil, but part of that is your own weakness, your own fallen human nature, just causing you to gravitate toward the easy things and things that bring comfort. So here's a question by Father Gillespie. Everyone experiences temptation of the flesh. What manner of this form of temptation is most powerful in your life? So think about that today. Do you not like to fast? Do you not like to look stupid? And you don't want to talk to anybody about your faith because of it? Do you not like to delay gratification? You know, because one day you're promised eternal paradise in heaven if you follow the Lord and cooperate with the grace he gives you. But unfortunately, a lot of us don't want to delay that pleasure. We want to get it right now. So we gravitate toward the things of the world. Father Gillespie recommends today that you deny one of your sensual appetites. So I'm going to leave that up to you. If you want to maybe not use a little cream in your coffee, forego a little bit of dessert today, maybe do a little extra Bible reading. These are ways that you can forego some of your pleasures and get used to giving up something and denying yourself. Okay, does that sound good? Let's close with our Jesus Living in Mary prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus Living in Mary, come and live in your servant, in the spirit of your holiness, in the fullness of your gifts, in the perfection of your ways, in the truth of your virtues, in the communion of your mysteries, subdue within me the power of flesh and demon by your Holy Spirit, for the glory of God the Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so we're just about to wrap up day number 9. God willing, I'll be back here tomorrow for another day of preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your kind words, your prayers, your emails. Keep hanging in there. Take one day at a time. This is going to be phenomenal when we get through with this. And I hope you're learning a thing or two, even in the process of preparation. If you have any questions, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. And also remember that I'm counting on your donations for me to be able to continue my full-time ministry. If you like the work I do, you want to see it continue, please consider visiting followingthetruth.com. Going to the donate page and making a secure donation online. You can become a monthly sponsor. You can make a one-time donation. I very, very much appreciate it. I thank you. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.